audience to us. I think it is a line open. You can type things and so on. We take the calls after the service. But it's a wonderful opportunity to worship the Lord and be with Him. We always start with number 255, and we welcome you here tonight. It's so beautiful as we study the book of 1 Peter. What a person supposed to do as a Christian. And Peter, the Pope of the Church, the Catholic said, he wrote it. All right? And so, in one sense, he is the key pastor. In that sense, he is the key pastor to tell us what we're supposed to do. Today is another step in his letter. 255, please. Father, we come to you again this evening as we close the day with great enthusiasm because you are a mighty and wonderful God. As we learned this morning, there are mysterious ways in which sometimes we panic. We all, include myself, and say, what is going on? And of course, we sometimes do not know your mind. But as we study this morning, everything works together for good. Thank you, Father, for correcting us in a loving way. Help us to be each other's brothers and sisters, shoulder to shoulder, to build up the ministry of the gospel, to be witness to others of the peace of God that dwells in our heart. Bless us as once again we fellowship in songs and in the Word. And as we study the words of Peter, the first pastor of the church, as we study his words, Lord, help us to assimilate it and to respect it because of your words. Bless those who perhaps are moving to their homes now. They are driving away after the long day. And bless us as later on we're going to have a special deacon board and committee meeting so that we can prepare ourselves for the new building to come. Lord, you're an amazing God. Thank you. And Jesus, we thank you. Amen. All right, you may have a wonderful song in the tips of your tongue or in your mind. For example, I look to the auditorium, and I know I'm going to sing 37 for Barbara. Is that right? Oh, you changed the number?
No.
Oh. 3 and 4 and 37. All right. Don't change my number because I know I have that number already booked. All right. Number 37, as I remember from the forest this morning, on the song of the choir. That was his favorite song, The Blood, The Blood. Number 37, stanza number 3, and stanza number 4. envy how genius is God in doing everything so perfect and so wonderful. Oh, if we can know what God is doing, how blessed we will be and how peaceful we will be. All right? Another song that's in your heart and you want to really keep on blessing Brother Prica. And then
Number 27.
All right. Number 27. Was so good to see Melda this morning. More relaxing. And now we hope. And that is good. All right. Number 27. I seen the mighty power of God. Wherever I go, you are there. Thank God. He's there. All right. Okay. Let me get Bernie and then you, sir. Bernie. 257. All right. And then Chris. Okay.
Thank you.
my cane.
Number 3 and 4, same song.
Number 3 and 4, the same song. All right, sir, accept it. All right. Yes. Outstanding. And who preached today? Wayne is not here, and his brother Greg preached in the mission. I have not contacted Wayne Peets. His brother is not improving. Yes.
I heard from him yesterday.
Okay.
And so he's still having troubles with his diabetes. This is the main problem. And although his leg is not healing very quickly, he's still on pain medications for it. It's his diabetes that has given him the most problem. And he's wanting specifically for us to look at praying that he can be able to get back to work real quick. And Wayne hopes to be back with us in a week, 2 weeks, something like that.
Okay. His brother is not doing well at all. Is it Missouri where he...
I believe he's set in Texas.
Oh, in Texas. Oh, for the hospital. Okay. Maybe. All right. Because I know he came from Missouri, but I don't know...
He came from Texas.
Oh, Mississippi.
Or
with the N. From the south. All right. Darlene.
321.
All right. And be sure you have a big list, because the architect said, who is the, what did he say, the music director? Or what?
Yes.
He's a music director. Jack, the one to say it. I say it. It's Darlene Laurels. Well, we have to have the driver. We have to have the room. So, yeah, talk to her. Husband has money. He's shocking.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's true, because when some, you have a relationship and something comes between that, that can break the relationship, all right? Señorita Tricia. 258, all right. We got it here. 258. 258, okay? We are right here. Now, I want to announce you again that prayer meeting is getting better and better. We have a lot of young people last prayer meeting. We have another session on the Starbucks session over there, and we talk about the real issues of life, all right? And why boys are so dumb is in America. We talked last week. So this week will be who should be married who. So I'm trying to get the agenda quickly. Candace, I cannot get Candace over there. I have to get Candace. I have to get Gregory. I'm going to teach them to drink good coffee, and then you get married right away. All right. 258. Look at Daddy. Mama's different, but Daddy, oh. 1 more, please, so that we have I have time to develop the sermon and time for the meeting. All right? 1 more. Okay, Tarian. Okay, there is a sign from Brother Lee. Oh, okay. 118, just from his heart. Okay? 118. Raquel for praying again, and look forward now to open the Word of God for you, and the book of First Peter in your hand, and of course, is going to be on chapter 2 of the book of First Peter. I'm going to, because of the air condition here, I'm going to lock my pages so they don't fly away on my Bible. All right, First Peter, chapter 2 this evening. So let's pray before we open the Word of God. Father, cause us to teach your Word with a sound mind, to point out the things that your Word really said, and cause us to take heed of your Word in our heart and pay attention to it. This church has feed your people in the Sunday school hour, in the morning service, in the afternoon class, in the choir practice, because they practice about singing about you. And then, Father, tonight, again, we close the service studying the thoughts that you put in the mind and in the lips of Peter, and how you guide him to write these exhortations to us. And so, Father, Peter is still feeding us with the power of thy word. Help us to treasure these, and by your grace to remember them, so that we practice them and become wise. In Jesus we pray, amen. I have provided for you a paper with four lessons. The last lesson, page number 4, is the lesson for today. Page number 4. In the bottom there is numbers, and page number 4 is the lesson for today. Just I want to recall you that we are studying the pastoral ministry on Peter. And the key verse was John 21:15, when God calls Peter and he tells Peter, you love me? And remember, he said 3 times, you love me, feed my sheep, you love me, feed my lambs, you love me, feed my sheep. And so when God dictated, actually the Holy Spirit dictated this letter, first and second letter of Peter, was preparing Peter to feed us through 2,000 years later. He is still feeding us. We don't need a new pope. He is still the pope. He is still feeding us with the word of God. He talked to them about salvation in chapter 1. Half of the chapter 1, the beginning, is salvation and the security that we have in that salvation. He talked to them about Christian living. That sermon, I think, on the preaching in the morning service, a very strong and very powerful sermon on Christian living, the end of chapter 1. Then he talked to them about the Christian walk, and that was last Sunday, the beginning of chapter 2. Now, he talked to them about to live under authority. To live under authority. Very peculiar instruction at the end of chapter 2, because in America, people say, we are Americans, we do what we want to. And it's not right, you know, it's not so. Now, in verse 9, he told them, they were, if you remember, in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and verse 9 said, you were a chosen generation, he said, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's in chapter 2, verse 9. But also in verse 9 of chapter 2, he tells them why they were blessed in this way, that they were holy people. Remember, look in verse 9. He said that ye should show forth the praise unto him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So God always wants a people who would let their light shine out to the lost world. He wants you and me, whether we are in Starbucks, O. Henry, in our job, in the computer, wherever we are, he looks for his people to shine for his glory. Now, look at verse 12 with me. Look at what we read in verse 12, 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Having our conversation, having our behavior honest among the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Anybody who is not a believer, alright? That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, said the scripture, which they shall behold, in other words, they will see it, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, when God comes back again, they will say, oh, those people were right. See, you will not get a praise from people who are Gentiles now, but on the day the Lord comes back and you're alive, they will say, oh, I remember, so-and-so told me, he was a right person. That's the way he lives. Let us look tonight, verses 13 to 25. And these verses, he began to feed God's people some spiritual meat and potatoes. All right? Until now, he touched the peripherals. But now he's going to touch the deepness of our soul. And it's good. We have an election coming in 1 year and a half. So I tell you, he's going to be right there for us. Now, let me show you what he says. First, he talks about submission. Okay? Our submission. Look at verse 13 and 14. Submit yourself. That doesn't mean somebody else don't have to tell you. You do it willingly. Okay? The Bible used this redundance in the Greek language to indicate the power of a self-made condition. Submit yourself to every ordinance of mine for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now, let's think for a moment. Notice, our submission is not to be determined by whether or not we like the person we are supposed to submit to. Alright? Our submission is determined by our love for Jesus who commanded us to do it. That doesn't change the whole panorama of politics. Submission is a very vital part of the Christian life. Peter showed us four basic ways we are to submit. And I want to show it here, right in those verses. We are to submit, look at the first word, to ordinance. If you go to the city hall, you find a lot of ordinance. You need to submit to ordinance. Alright? Verse 13. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We need to submit to ordinance. Notice the words every ordinance. Peter is acknowledging that we must accept the good and the bad. Hold for a minute what you think for a minute and I clarify it. Alright? Peter recognized that a society cannot choose which laws they are going to obey and which laws they will disobey. Remember at the end of the book of Judges? At the end there was no king in the land and it was chaos. Chaos, verse 21, the very end. And was chaos. When there is a place with no ordinance, there is chaos. When there is no place where the husband takes his place as a leader of the home, there is chaos. That's what Peter is saying. We may be strangers and pilgrims in this land, but we Christians represent the Lord and His kingdom. And for the Lord's sake, remember that verse said, for the Lord's sake, we submit to the law. It brings no glory to God when we obey only those laws that pleases us. But it does bring glory to God when we submit to those laws we personally do not like. Now I'm going to put a finger on something very important. What if the law are in violation of God's law? Do we obey them? The answer is absolutely not. When man is foolish enough to make laws that override the law of God, We as God's people are to have the courage, like three people in the Bible who say no. Remember the name of these three people? Where were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They say, we will not bow to such a law. And here is an illustration. Put one hand in Peter and go with your Bible to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. In the days of the apostles, ungodly men passed a law forbidding any preaching about Jesus. That law was in direct violation of God's word that commanded us to spread the gospel. And look at what Peter replied. Acts 5 verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men? He plays the question. We ought to obey God rather than men? See, but if the laws of this land are not in conflict with God's word, we are to submit to every ordinance of man. That is done. We are to render, therefore, unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, said Jesus, and unto God the things that are God. Our submission to the law of God, to the law of the land, honors God. That changed the panorama. You know, when you buy a property like we did, that property is zoning for religious use. But not every property in town is zoning, so if we choose a property, then we have to submit to the law a permission for religious use. This property has been already established for religious use by the Jewish synagogue. We don't have to go through that step. But the law says so, we have to do it. We have to do it. So, number one, we submit to the law. Number two, we are to submit to governors. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look in verse 14 to 16. Or unto governors, verse 14, as unto them they are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. Now, let me talk a little bit about this. The Christian's view should be determined by our love for the Lord and for His sake. We honor all leaders, and it's bad to speak bad about a leader. It's bad. Israel's downfall was very tough. In those days, said the Bible, you don't have to look over there, it's in the book of Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did which was in his own right eye. Anyone can honor a leader that does everything he wants. There are people who look for a leader who they will increase money in their bank. And so they look for a president that will do that. Others, they will look for a president that will help them to have medicine even though they have no money to pay for an insurance. And so on. And everybody looks for something that benefits themselves. But Peter tells Christians to submit to governors. Isn't that interesting? Because their purpose, according to verse 14, is this: for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That's verse 14 in 1 Peter chapter 2. And so that's what we have to submit to the governor. Again, the same law. If the governor decrees that this church cannot use the Bible, we say, goodbye, governor. All right? We will not do it. Number three, we are to submit to all men. Look at verse 17. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. You see that? Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The word of God teaches we are to honor all men, just exactly as the original says. God's word says, We are to love them and honor them by showing the proper respect that should be shown to them. Racial biases should not be the determining factor in who we honor and who we do not honor. All right? When I go to O. Henry's and I see Leo, and he's sitting with Italians, and I say, Leo, please. And there are other people sitting in other places. And I say aloud, Leo, get out of here. You go to that corner. You are Mexican. Well, some people are eating their donuts and they look on it. And I say, oh, okay, we don't want any Mexican here. Okay, sir, I'm sorry. He plays with me. Goes over there. Some people look at me. And I go all right, this table by table. And people just sit with their paper and read the paper. you remember there was a time in America like that? With the black people? Anyone can love a person that thinks the way you think. Anyone. Can you imagine how many arguments and fights could be avoided if people will be willing to submit to each other? To submit to each other. Does that mean that we are to submit to them even if we have to do something wrong? Of course not. It is never right to do wrong. Remember that. It is never right to do wrong. But if it is, has to do with anything that is not sinful, then we should be willing to submit to bring an argument to a godly conclusion. So we submit to men when it's proper. Four, we are to submit to employers. Now, that's something the unions have destroyed in America. Okay? Submit to employers. Verse 18 to 20. And here read it. 1 Peter 2, verse 18 to 20. Servants, be subject to your masters. See, the Bible doesn't call you an employee and an employer. Call you a servant. That was the style of relationship of employer to employee at that time. Servants, be subject to your masters, said the scripture, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the one who is really tough and aggressive. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Wow, that solves a lot of problems. A great deal of the business world is controlled by lost people. Let's face it. They employ saved people and they employ lost people. Christians should be the best worker employers could hire. A Christian should be the best employer, the best employee an employer could hire. Even if it's no fear what they do to you, just so right. I do it for God's sake. Our submission to their authority should not be based on whether we like them or not, or even if they are good or bad employers. Doesn't matter. So what is our responsibility, said Peter? He said, you submit to every ordinance, you submit to the governor, and then he said, you submit to all men, and then you submit to employers. Boy, no fun. But that's the way it is. Now, he had a second opinion in how to relate in this odd example. Look at verse 21 now. We read, for even whereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Here is our example, that we should follow his steps. So here, two things he said to the church to live under authority. First, here are the submission, and here's the example. I'm glad that he doesn't use himself as an example. He used the Lord Jesus. If anyone ever had a right to rebel against all these things we have been talking about, the Lord Jesus did. Look at verse 22 to 25. Talking about Jesus, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he feared not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Oh boy, I like that ending. Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. This is true of Christians. We may choose to live our lives full of hate and rebellion, but we have had the best example that we could possibly have, the Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself before mankind and went about doing good, not listening to his feelings. So what is the conclusion then that Peter put all together? You want to live a wholesome life? You really want to be successful? Do you really want to have a remarkable life? Well, get submission into your head. That's against America. America wants to have, it's my right. You are driving a car and one guy wants to cross you. And what do? Sometimes I let it cross. Some other times, if I'm in the big car, I just put the big car on. You know, rather let it go. Okay? Submission to every ordinance, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. There was an ordinance here in town that you cannot put the driveway on sand. And it got me mad. And the city hall, I said, who told you that? He said, well, that's the ordinance. Well, who wrote it? Well, who's the engineer? You ever been in the airport? The driveway is on sand. So when the heat and thing, the airport moves like that, 3 or 4 inches a day, and the plane lands and moves with the air. So you people don't know. So well, that's what it is. I said, well, you don't know anything. I'm going to do what I want in my house. Oh, well, that ignites all kinds of inspectors coming in and say, I build it on sand. Then they mention, well, you need a little more. I pulled the steel out, went down, put sand, I'm going to put sand, and then whatever you want. And so I put what they want. Cost me $4,000 or $5,000 more. But I built one of the best driveways. I think a plane can land in my driveway. And then I give them such a hard time that when I built my stairway hanging on two beams, he said, you do what you want. We don't go. But, you know, I said, I'll tell you something. You know what end the argument? I said, now, you tell me what you want, and I do what you want on the top of what I want. Oh, that's good, he said. You're going to follow the law. So I did, but my tricky, I put it about 1 foot of sand, compressed with water, it takes about 5 days to get it. And then I put this cement or whatever they want. And they came in, oh, that's good. That's, and I said, well, you go to San Jose and go ask people permission, go to the airport, get a little thing. It's about 5 feet deep, and it's beautiful. And he goes, and the whole argument when I said, I do what you want, and let me do what I want. Okay, we made that deal. Ordinance. That ordinance will irritate you, but they have to do it. Governors. You like our governor? I don't know if you like it or not. You don't have to raise your hand. But whatever he does, you know, he's a movie star. All right? He dressed very good, though. I like it. I even rolled a load. Where do you buy your suits? Because they buy good suits. All right? He don't buy any Macy's. Maybe an even Marcus. All right? Your governor. All men, oh, there are people who irritate you. If you drive a lot, you know that. People irritate you. Employers, oh, this is not right. Well, we have no right. That's not what the union said, but we have no right. Now, I want to show you an employer, Don Pedro here. I believe they used him a lot. That Don Pedro was faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. And at the end of his work, after what, 30 years, brother? 55 years of working for the same employer, doing whatever the employer wants, they give him a house. So we buy him this house. How am I going to pay it? It's yours. Start retired. Your salary keeps on going. Like if you were here. When he told me that, I said, God, you really mean it. God really mean it. And because here is a humble man who understood what God wants for his life. So what is the conclusion? It's found in Ephesians 5 and in verse 21. A very simple conclusion that dominates the chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. In chapter 5, verse 21. I even copied that verse in the paper. And the conclusion is this. Submitting yourself. Here again, that word yourself is an addition to. There is no word yourself on it. But it's that the verb implies the willingness of a self-action. Submitting yourself one to another. The clue is in the fear of God. In the fear of God. A husband cannot ask the wife to do something that God doesn't authorize him to ask. A wife cannot ask a husband to do something that God does not authorize him to do. All is in the fear of God. So we find out what God wants and we do it together and we enjoy it. Thank you, Pope Peter. What a great lesson he gave us. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson of submission. For the great lesson that you are not a God of confusion, but a God of authority who wants everything to be done in order. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There is discipline, there is order, there is precision in your instructions. Oh, we thank you, we love you. And now give us a week in which we practice this lesson. And Lord, as we go into a board meeting for decisions, give us your mind and the affairs of this church. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. All right.